The group Pussy Riot made headlines in 2012 when three members were imprisoned for a protest that shocked many older Russians, though their harsh sentences won them supporters around the world. They're now the subject of a documentary film, and Ian Willoughby speaks to one of its makers in this edition of One on One.
One of the most popular films at Prague's recent One World Festival of Human Rights Documentaries was Pussy Riot, A Punk Prayer. The story of the trial of three members of Pussy Riot for performing a protest song at a Moscow cathedral, it draws on interviews with their relatives and other members of the collective to create a vivid portrait of the controversial Russian group. Ahead of a screening, I asked co-director Mike Lerner what had attracted him to the subject.
What drew me to the subject in the first place was the appearance of Pussy Riot in the British press. Their performance in front of the Kremlin in the Red Square was just like the most mind-blowing thing I've ever seen. And I was immediately struck by, you know, what they were trying to do and wanted to find out a bit more about them. And then when they were arrested for their cathedral action, it just seemed to be the ideal sort of subject for a film. The idea of the state putting artists on trial, and it's kind of reminiscent of Dostoevsky or Dreyfus Affair or something like that. It just seemed a really big moment, which it proved to be, I think.
You have some fantastic footage, including of them being questioned, I guess immediately after being arrested or soon afterwards. How did you get that?
Well, we acquired that from somebody else. We started making the film after their arrest. So there's also a film of them rehearsing for this cathedral performance, which was actually filmed by the BBC. And actually, at one stage, the Kremlin were accusing the BBC of being behind the whole Pussy Riot thing, which I wish they were as that imaginative and dissident in their culture to have done such a thing. But, of course, they didn't. But we're grateful that they filmed this stuff, of course.
One interesting aspect is that their parents appear. Was it hard getting them on board?
Well, some more than others. Nadia's father was very much in the forefront of what she does and very much supportive of what she does. Masha's mother, by contrast, was, you know, very against what they'd done and also had been very much hounded by the Russian press. So she was very afraid of speaking out and speaking publicly. But we did manage to persuade her to contribute to the film and give a more truthful picture of really who her daughter was and what she was trying to do.
I saw an earlier interview with you in which you said that their performance at the cathedral was the most significant piece of performance art ever. Really?
Well, I think in terms of its impact, yes. I mean, I'm a great fan of Joseph Beuys or Eve Klein or any of these great performance artists, but I think their impact is relatively smaller. And I think in terms of, you know, the way that this piece of art, which is what it is, has reached people and has inspired many people too, I think it's got a place in art history. I really do.
Pussy Riot, of course, are known as a collective, not just the three members who were put on trial. One of the others says that the reaction to the attempted performance at the Cathedral of Christ the Saviour was stronger than they had expected. Was that a view shared by the three who were arrested?
Well, I guess so, because if you look at the things they did before the cathedral, they were also pretty provocative and big events, which they suffered a $15 fine for. So, you know, I think they were surprised by the reaction of the church in particular to what they did. I mean, a lot of what was driving, I think, the trial was this massive outcry from Kirill, the Russian Pope. He has, you know, huge sway in Russian politics as well. So I think he was really driving the whole case in many ways.
They became hugely well known internationally. Were they aware of the huge international impact they made?
Well, they were, of course. Their lawyers and their family and friends were telling them about, you know, Madonna staged this performance in Moscow just before the trial, in fact. So they were well aware of this. And whilst I don't think it necessarily had any impact whatsoever on the outcome of the trial, it obviously was very good for their morale to know that people around the world were supporting them and thinking about them.
What impact did what they do have on Russian society?
Well, I think it's very early to say. I think my gut feeling is that they really did change something in the consciousness, especially of young people, I think, in Russia, who, whilst they, you know, debates about feminism and about gay rights and all these things are, you know, weren't really as much in the public discourse as they then became after Pussy Riot. So, you know, I think it's too early to really tell, obviously, the long-term impact, but I feel it's significant.
What do you think is the greatest, if there is one, misconception about Pussy Riot?
Well, I suppose it's the simple idea that they're a band, really, and the people who keep expecting them to perform and to release albums and do all that, when, of course, they're artists pretending to be a band, you know, as part of this performance, this media performance, which has confused a lot of people.
Does that mean that they essentially have no connection with punk music as we might know it, or punk as we might know it from the UK or the States?
Well, they definitely decided to take on punk aesthetic, and they certainly were big fans of like Cockney Rejects and UK Subs and people like that. So that
second generation UK punk bands.
Second generation UK punk bands. So it's not no connection. And of course, I think the whole idea of the DIY aesthetic and the sort of relatively shocking lyrics and ideas that they purport also, I think, come from that tradition.
And who else would you say inspired them?
Well, I think a long line of dissidents. I mean, they say this in the trial, you know, Solzhenitsyn and there's a long list of people who have risked all to try and improve society as far as they're concerned. So, you know, they come from a long line of art activism and philosophical activism and political activism. So, you know, they're definitely in a tradition which they would acknowledge.
Their song or their performance piece, A Punk Prayer, includes the words "rid us of Putin," but I was wondering if what they did could have perhaps in a way strengthened him, in the same way that people say that he uses the whole gay issue just to strengthen his own position more than anything else.
Well, he certainly does do that. He certainly has, you know, is attempting to appeal to the far right and the nationalists and the conservatives. But I think in the long term, this whole prosecution of Pussy Riot demonstrates insecurity on his behalf. And one wonders why he spent so much time and resources persecuting these young women. So I think, you know, it's an attempt to win favour amongst the more conservative elements in the country. But at the same time, I think it also demonstrates a degree of insecurity, which is very interesting.
Your film draws a comparison with the show trials of the Stalin era. Isn't that a little bit strong, given that people in the show trials, they were tortured, many were executed afterwards. In the case of Pussy Riot, they got a stiff sentence, but they didn't experience anything like that.
On the one hand, of course, you're right. We're not comparing this to the excesses of Stalinism and the millions of people whose lives were destroyed by that. But at the same time, the use of the judiciary and the use of the trial to undermine your opponents is reminiscent of that. And I think so. There are parallels, but of course, you know, we're not for a moment suggesting that Russia is living under the tyranny that it once was.
I've got to say, I had a lot of sympathy for Pussy Riot at the time of the trial, but I also, part of me was thinking, the worse they're treated, the better it is for them, because it makes Putin look worse. Is there an element of that?
I think that is definitely the case, that they were prepared to go through this experience. And I think they found it very galling when they were given this amnesty right at the end. They'd served 95% of their sentence, and then suddenly they get this magnanimous act from the leader. So I think they, you know, they were a bit miffed about that, really, I think, because they'd already done all this time and they were prepared to take their punishment whilst not confessing or admitting to any wrongdoing. So there is a degree of martyrdom, of course, involved in all of this.
What's happening with Pussy Riot now? I understand that they split, or two of the ones who were imprisoned have been kicked out?
Well, in the tradition of all political groups and pop groups, although they're not a pop group, they have differences of what they think they should be doing in the future. And I think that's only natural, and I think it's healthy as well. You know, they're not this monolithic structure that only exists in one particular way. And clearly, one of the many interesting aspects of Pussy Riot was this anonymity, that nobody would be known for themselves. And now, of course, Masha and Nadia and Katia are very, very well known. So in a way, that does change the whole approach of the group, I would suggest.
And do you think that the remaining members of Pussy Riot will be a big feature of the media landscape, or will appear in public and will do outrageous things in future? I know it's a big question, or maybe a crazy question, because you don't know.
Well, I don't know, but I've got a sneaky suspicion that their job is not done yet, and I think they've got, you know, who knows what guise it will take or what their technique will be. But clearly they still are struggling to achieve greater justice for people and greater equality for men, women and gay people in Russia. That job continues. So I'm certain they're not about to retire.
Also, I saw in a previous interview with you, you were saying that Masha, who is the curly-haired one, for people who know what they look like but maybe don't know much about them, that she could become one day the president of Russia.
I still very much think that, and I think she would make a very, very good president. It wouldn't be the first time we're talking in this country where former dissidents have become presidents. So it's not entirely impossible, and certainly I think it would be a good thing for Russia if she did.
What marks her out as being different from the others or more likely to be a leader in the future?
They're all capable of it. I think she just has a certain degree of seriousness about her and uncompromising morality that I think would serve a president very well.